Detektor FM. Zurück zum Thema.
Eine knappe Stunde lang werden wir im Radio jetzt über das Radio sprechen, über neue Erzählweisen und Sounds und über das Radio im Netz jederzeit und überall auf der Welt abrufbar.
Oh, first thing you do is go to the website. When you get there, this is what you will see on the screen. And there's a little arrow over there. You press it and congratulations, you're listening to a podcast.
I'm Kelly McCabe.
So funktioniert sie, die Kulturtechnik oder zumindest eine Technik des Podcast-Hörens. Warum es sehr gut ist, diese Kulturtechnik zu beherrschen, das wird Thema Nummer 1 sein, diese Specials von Radio 1 und Detektor FM, auch im Livestream zu sehen. Und für alle, die jetzt gerade beim Abendessen abgelenkt sind oder wie bei mir zu Hause, weiß ich jetzt von müden Kindern, unterbrochen werden, als Podcast ist das Ganze dann natürlich auch alles nachhörbar. Wie viel Rock'n'Roll gibt es im Radio im Jahr 2016? Wo und wie werden wichtige Geschichten gut erzählt und mit welchem Sound werden wir auf die Reise mitgenommen? Wo geht sie auch hin im Zeitalter von Podcasts? Um auf solche Fragen Antworten zu finden, haben sich heute hier im Medieninnovationszentrum den ganzen Tag gegenseitig Radiomacherinnen und Radiomacher befeuert, Ideen ausgetauscht beim MIZ Radio Innovation Day und jetzt lauschen wir 4 kreativen Köpfen hier nochmal im Gespräch. Denn neben mir haben Platz genommen Kelly McGavers, jahrelang Auslandskorrespondentin von National Public Radio und Moderatorin von All Things Considered, wo sie jede Woche für schlappe 12 Millionen Hörerinnen und Hörer die Geschichten des Tages aufbereitet. Seit März 2016 präsentiert sie bei NPR auch ihren Podcast Embedded. Welcome, Kelly. Ja, gerne nochmal einen Applaus für Kelly. Dann mit dabei in dieser Runde Ben Brock Johnson, Moderator von Marketplace Tech und Autor der Podcast-Serie Codebreaker. Ben, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Und wir haben Brandon P. Baker hier, der für seine Sounddesigns mehrfach ausgezeichnet worden ist, unter anderem mit dem Radio-Oscar. Er ist Soundschöpfer des wunderschön erzählten Podcasts Love and Radio. Brandon, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, und die Podcasts, die mitgebracht haben, diese 3 Gesprächspartner, die werden wir natürlich noch ausführlicher vorstellen. Den Sound dieser Sendung macht für uns Tim Exile.
Hello, thank you.
Yes. Wie er ihn macht, das erfahren Sie auch noch im Laufe dieser Sendung. So first of all, thank you for joining us today. And let's try to paint a picture of what the more or less brave new radio world will look like. Kelly, you've been working as a correspondent in conflict and war zones for several years. And when you came home, you started Embedded as a podcast series, which was launched this year. So what was the starting point for you? Why did you decide that it wasn't enough to do the, I say, normal work as a journalist?
When I came back from reporting in the Middle East, many people said to me, you know, that kind of reporting that you were doing in those places in Syria and Iraq and Yemen, you should do that same kind of reporting in the States. You know, you should go to places and spend time with people and try to suss out problems and answer questions and meet characters who we maybe haven't met before. And, you know, in the United States, where I was coming home to, we have problems here too. It's not just the problems of the rest of the world that need to be reported on.
But why did you decide to do it as a podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the time, you know, podcasts were exploding in the US. We started to see not just that people wanted to listen to podcasts, but that people wanted to listen to journalism in podcast form. That people were willing to spend 20, 30, 40, 60 minutes listening to good, solid journalism, which is this thing that I happen to love to do in this long form. So I thought, why not try and experiment with the kinds of reporting that I like to do in this new space where you can be a person, when you can try things, when you can try to answer questions, when you can be a little more experimental and not necessarily do the very traditional sort of radio reporting.
Also Kelly hat jahrelang als Korrespondentin für NPR gearbeitet, auch in Krisenregionen. Und als sie nach Hause kam, hat sie diesen Podcast Embedded gestartet. Und ich habe sie gefragt, naja, was war eigentlich der Starting Point? Warum hat sie sich dieses Betätigungsfeld ausgesucht, neben dem normalen Beruf oder normalen Journalistenberuf, den sie auch hat, in Anführungsstrichen? Und sie sagt, na, als sie zurückkam, hat man ihr gesagt, Mensch, du könntest auch hier in unsere Krisenzonen oder in unsere Krisensituation hier bei uns zu Hause gehen und ähnliche Berichte machen. Und warum machst du das nicht in Form eines Podcasts? Das war gerade auch eine Zeit, wo Podcasts in den USA ganz groß waren, und da hat sie sich rangemacht an dieses Format, das ihr auch ein paar andere Möglichkeiten gibt, viel persönlicher reinzugehen, in die Geschichten auch tiefer zu gehen. Wir werden darüber noch sprechen. Wir werden jetzt aber erstmal hören, wie ihr Podcast Embedded im März dieses Jahres eingeführt wurde, nämlich mit einer Geschichte über den Ausbruch von HIV im Bundesstaat Indiana.
In Indiana, there's been an outbreak of HIV.
The virus is spreading in Indiana. An
unprecedented outbreak of HIV.
Taking HIV cases.
Major HIV outbreak is underway.
It started when people who are addicted to this pain pill called Opana began injecting the drug and sharing needles. And to figure out how this happened, I am sitting in a house where the shades are always drawn. And every few hours, people go into a back bedroom, shut the door, and won't let me in.
They're all doing it too.
I'd say so, possibly. Door shut.
The owner of the house, Clyde, doesn't do this drug, Opana. His son, and pretty much everyone else in the house, does. They used to crush the pills and snort them. But then the company that makes the drug reformulated it. So now people inject it. And this is something I want to see. How does that work?
You have to show us. You have to show us just how it works.
I don't have one.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, if there's a chance.
So I wait. Then finally.
So they left that door open this time.
They don't close the door on me.
We're going to cut the pill.
One guy walks out, motions for me to come in, and I go.
Hey. Yeah, sure.
He grabs a lighter. Another guy raises his sleeve and asks me if I mind.
I don't mind if you don't mind.
And then we shut the door. When you read a headline like this on your newsfeed, an HIV outbreak in Indiana, you have a lot of questions. And for me, the only way to answer those questions is to go there, to spend some time, get to know the people in the middle of the story. This is a show where we'll do that. We'll take a story from the news and go deep. We're calling it Embedded.
Hello. Sie hören eine Sendung zum Radio Innovation Day im Medieninnovationszentrum in Babelsberg, und wir haben das Teasing gehört für einen Podcast von Kelly McEvers, der seit März 2016 aufgerufen, gestreamt und heruntergeladen wird. Und Kelly klärt in diesem Teaser auch gleich, warum der Podcast Embedded heißt. Es geht darum, sich hineinzubegeben in eine Community, sich Zeit zu nehmen, vor Ort zu sein, bis eine Frage beantwortet ist. In diesem Fall die Frage, wie kommt es, dass im Jahr 2016 HIV nochmal, oder 2015 war es, glaube ich, sogar schon, nochmal in einem US-Bundesstaat ausbrechen kann. So how, Kelly, is the podcast about the outbreak of HIV in Indiana different from a normal report you would do for a radio program?
I mean, first, we just spend more time. You know, if you were a news reporter going to do the story, and we use an example of news reporters who were going to do the story, you go in, you meet a guy, you're like, hi, why do you do drugs? Did you know that sharing needles could give you HIV? Okay, thank you, goodbye, and you leave. I think part of it is just that we spend more time, that we actually, because we know people are going to listen for longer, we're going to spend longer and try to figure out, answer questions that get deeper than I think the regular news. Not to say that the regular news isn't a good thing. It's just sometimes listening to the regular news leaves you with questions. And we try to answer some of those. Like with this particular thing, we didn't go into that room just because we thought it would be cool or because we wanted to be voyeurs. We went into that room because it turns out that the reason people were injecting this drug is because the drug company reformulated it so they could no longer snort it. And so the only way to do it was to inject it. It was an unintended, perhaps, consequence of a decision by the company. Plus, you have a state where needle exchanges were illegal. So we were able to say, wait a second, how does this all work? And we were able to see it up close.
And was that something that was not covered by the normal media coverage?
That's right. Right. The drug company's decision, no. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something, again, with the luxury of time, you have time to go back. And not only did we find out that that's when people switched their methods, we also found out that the company knew that they had done their own studies to see how people would change their behavior. And they actually knew that people would start injecting this drug when they changed it. But they did it anyway. Why? Because a new formulation means a new patent, which means a lot of new money.
Da sind wir schon mittendrin in einer sehr komplexen Geschichte, die aber auch nur so aufgearbeitet werden konnte, weil sich eben Kelly Zeit lassen konnte, dort in der Community in Indiana mehr Zeit verbringen konnte und so auch hineinkam. Wir haben gerade auch diesen Moment gehört, wo sie dann Zeugin wird, wie hier die Drogen injiziert werden. Vielleicht nochmal ganz kurz, es ging um ein Schmerzmittel, das normalerweise von diesen Drogensüchtigen durch die Nase inhaliert wurde. Dann aber dieses Schmerzmittel, das wurde verhindert, weil das Schmerzmittel anders hergestellt wurde und deshalb mussten sich die Drogensüchtigen jetzt quasi die Nadel in die Vene stecken und dadurch ist dann auch HIV wieder verbreitet worden, weil diese Nadeln zum Teil geteilt wurden. Alles auch ein Resultat dieses Podcasts, der einfach dann nochmal tiefer hineingehen konnte in die Geschichte. Wir werden auch noch tiefer hineingehen in die Geschichten von Ben und Brandon, die hier auch neben mir sitzen. Aber jetzt werden wir erstmal Tim Exile hören, der uns hier Tracks kreiert und schon sehr aufgeregt uns anschaut. Und weil er diese Tracks ganz spontan an seinen Geräten kreieren kann, haben wir uns überlegt, dass alle Gäste ihm einen Satz oder ein Wort zuwerfen. Und daraus wird dann jetzt hier gleich live ein Song entstehen. Kelly, so it's your turn.
Oh, to say a thing?
Yes, to trigger the first song. By saying? Oh, yeah, you need the other
different
microphone.
Different mic.
It's a different mic, yes.
Take a story from the news and go deep. Take a story from the news and go deep. Take a story from the news and go deep. Take a story from the news and go
Mm-hmm.
Exile.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Wow. Es lohnt sich in diesem Fall auch wirklich, den Livestream mal anzuknipsen, denn der Mann ist in seinem Element, würde ich sagen. 4 Minuten live entwickelte Musik mit Geräten und einer Software, die wir auch noch vorstellen werden. Tim Exile macht die Musik zum MIZ Radio Innovation Day. Radio 1 und Detektor FM senden hier aus dem Medieninnovationszentrum in Babelsberg. Und bei mir sind absolute Profis, wenn es darum geht, im Radio neue Erzählwelten zu entwickeln. Kelly McEvers von NPR, Brandon P. Baker von Podcast Love and Radio und Ben Brock Johnson, Moderator von Marketplace Tech und Schöpfer eines eigenen Podcasts mit dem Namen Codebreaker. Ben, you developed your own way of storytelling with Codebreaker. Why did you invent this podcast about everyday technology?
I think in the daily show that I make for broadcast, for the radio, what we try and look at is social impact. Even though we're telling daily news stories, sort of we're covering the news, but we're trying to look deeper. But we never get to go that deep. I was watching a lot of science fiction television at the time that was inspiring me about the impact that technology really does have on our lives. And even though it was fiction, it felt very relatable and very real. I was watching shows like Black Mirror and Mr. Robot. And at the same time, learning about playing with codes, I was learning about Alan Turing, this sort of famous codebreaker from the Second World War. And so we started thinking about how could we make a podcast that played with actual codes and hid codes in episodes, but at the same time tried to take a deeper dive on some of the topics that we were thinking about and also ask questions about morality and about how things impact us in a deeper way, even though they don't seem like it. It seems very surface, but I think that's the origin story.
Also auch bei bei Ben, die das Bedürfnis, tiefer einsteigen zu können in Themen, und außerdem war er inspiriert von Science-Fiction-Filmen und Serien und Science-Fiction-Geschichten. Und dann hat er sich auch noch mit Code-Breaking, also Code-Knacken, beschäftigt, speziell einer Figur aus dem, was it in a Second World War, this guy who broke the codes?
Yeah, Alan Turing, he's well-known in the computer world and in the coding world, and he's, I think, considered by some to be the kind of grandfather of this. And so we started, we were also playing around with, I'd interviewed somebody who's really into geocaching, which is, I didn't know a lot about at the time, but is basically playing games by sending people on these adventures in the real world and sending them to solve mysteries that you kind of set up. And we're just really excited about that. And at the same time, thinking about television and how television releases shows and how Netflix will release an entire season of House of Cards so that people could binge watch the season. And so we were like, okay, can we make a podcast that people can binge listen to and produce it all ahead of time? And that's where the codes started to come in, that we would actually allow people to binge if they could crack the codes in each episode, even though the codes came out, or even though the episodes came out every week. Extra engaged people could also binge if they could crack the codes.
Was für eine Idee. Also in jeder Episode von Codebreaker ist quasi ein Code versteckt, den die Hörerinnen und Hörer knacken müssen, wenn sie vorzeitig die nächste Episode hören wollen. Ein cleverer Move, um die Leute an diesen Podcast zu binden, aus dem wir jetzt mal einen Ausschnitt hören. Hier ist eine Episode aus Ben Brock Johnsons Codebreaker.
Hello, world. This is Codebreaker. I'm Ben Brock Johnson. If you were going to look at the vast stretch of human history and you wanted to pick one common motivator for technological innovation, what would it be? Here's a couple of hints.
The Swinger, the incredible new low-priced Polaroid land camera.
Do you know how much bandwidth your business network really needs?
So save time and shop online.
Was broadcast straight to my screen over the internet.
The camera, e-commerce, increased bandwidth, video streaming, one thing led to all of these products being a part of our daily lives. And actually, this list goes even further back.
Cave drawings, the uses of the printing press.
Home video, self-focusing cameras, cable television.
You know, no matter what era you look at, you see evidence that pornography or that pornographers or adult entertainment not only had an influence, but they then pushed it forward.
Pornography. From origin story to widespread adoption, technological innovation goes hand in hand with porn. You just heard Karen North, director of the Digital Social Media Program at the University of Southern California. We were talking a few months ago, and she started telling me this story about porn's connection to innovation.
Whether you're for it or against it when it comes to pornography, it's still fascinating to recognize that that industry, throughout the generations, has had a tremendous impact on the things that we do care about in everyday life.
If we want to talk about technology and its impact on the world, we should talk about pornography's move to the internet. On Codebreaker, we decipher our complicated feelings about technology by asking straightforward questions with a sense of humor, a sense of awe, and hey, sometimes a sense of dread. This season, we've got one question in mind, three little words. The answer isn't so easy.
Evil? A little, maybe, yeah.
Is it evil? We're asking this question about one kind of technology in every episode. So today, internet pornography.
Der Podcast Codebreaker von Ben Brock Johnson, hier eine Episode zum Thema Internetpornografie. With a sense of humor, with a sense of awe, and hey, a sense of dread. I like that. Also Humor, Ehrfurcht und Abscheu, alles erlaubt, wird auch gleich mal vorangestellt. I think was also very special about your podcast, apart from using this code, is you have this specific question in mind for every episode. Is this evil? Was it very important for you to have this one focus?
Yeah, I mean, I, to be honest, this the whole idea for this first season of the show, and by the way, I don't think internet porn is evil, and that's actually... It becomes a device for us to explore the nuances of a topic in a kind of roundabout way. And this whole thing started out, you know, it was going to be an actual segment in the show that we made. And I thought of it as just kind of like a funny, silly thing. And we were workshopping. There was a group of us at Marketplace who were kind of talking about how to make this podcast about tech. And I presented that as an idea for a segment within each episode. And people were like, had very strong reactions, both positive and negative, but the strongest reaction was to that idea. And so we were like, well, wait, can we make a whole season around this question? And that sort of led us down the road of asking one fundamental question and then applying it to either a kind of tech or a tech idea in each episode.
Das ist eine sehr schöne Herangehensweise, finde ich. Die Themenfelder werden also nicht einfach abgegrast, sondern alles wird auf eine Frage hin abgeklopft. Ist es evil? Ist während der Vorbereitung zu diesem Podcast irgendwann so einfach als Grundfrage aufgetaucht? Also ist das Teufelswerk? Gerade bei Technik ja immer auch eine tolle Frage. Ist das böse? E-Mails zum Beispiel oder eben Pornografie wie in dieser Episode. So Ben, it's your turn to give us a sentence. I mean, you could just say this wonderful with a sense of humor, with a sense of awe, and hey, with a sense of, but it's your turn. I'll let you choose.
I had something else. Can I do something else?
You can do something else.
Can I do something else? I had something else. Can I do something else?
Take that. Oh.
I had something else. Can I?
Sound is the first sense. Is the first sense. Is the first sense. Is the first sense. Thank you.
Time's up. Yes. Woo! Der zweite Track von Tim Exile hier heute Abend live produziert oder sagen wir besser gespielt. Ich finde, das ist schon mehr als produzieren. Made up, would you say? I think it's played. It's great. Inspiriert von unseren Gesprächen hier im Medieninnovationszentrum in Potsdam-Babelsberg. Sie hören ein Special von Radio 1 und Detektor FM zum Radio Innovation Day. Und bei mir sind immer noch Kelly McEvers, Ben Brock Johnson und Brandon P. Baker, der jetzt ein bisschen in den Mittelpunkt rückt. Und vielleicht können wir noch mal so ein bisschen über Dramaturgie und Sound dieser modernen neuen Podcasts reden. Brandon, listening to those new podcasts, there's a lot of things that remind us about films and about series of television. So, in a way, the way of storytelling is not new, you could say, but we don't have the pictures when we listen to podcast. So, does it make it more complex? Or does it make it more fun?
I think it makes it both more complex and more fun, hopefully, as a listener. You know, what we do in our show is we interview people for, you know, a long time. We interview people for like anywhere from 4 to 10 hours, and then we edit it all down into about a half hour. And then we use this music and sound to bring it to life. And because there aren't any visuals, the sound isn't sort of married to any picture, it gives, you know, me as a producer a lot of freedom to experiment and to think about what am I imagining in my head when I hear this person talking, and how can I kind of have a, I don't know, psychedelic reimagining of it, you know?
Sehr schön, ja. Also vieles von dieser Dramaturgie, die in Podcasts entwickelt werden, kennt man aus Serien, aus Filmserien. Aber natürlich fehlt beim Podcast das Bild, und Brandon sagt, ja, das macht die Sache natürlich einerseits komplexer, andererseits öffnet das natürlich auch Fantasieräume. Was kann ich mir als Sound vorstellen in dem Moment? Womit öffne ich vielleicht auch ein Bild beim Zuhörer? Und ich finde, wir hören uns jetzt mal an, wie in dem Podcast, für den er soundtechnisch vor allem auch zuständig ist, das dann klingt. Hier ist ein Ausschnitt aus einer Episode aus Love and Pain.
I think I was 20 years old, really long hair, had on the latest rock t-shirt, going to New York University, living in the village, and I was working at a record label. Remember those record labels, music industry? This was at the time where, like, glam metal was at the top of the charts. Rat, Poison, Motley Crue, that true decadent period. It was glamorous. The owner of the label had this incredible career in the music industry. He was, in my eyes, glamorous by who he knew, by what he was exposed to, the artist that he had mingled with, that he rubbed shoulders with, the bands that came through his office throughout the 70s and 80s, Deep Purple, Iron Maiden, Whitesnake, Robert Plant. One night we were just up at the label, and he broke out some cocaine. He pulled it out of his pocket. I didn't hesitate. I did a line of cocaine. The feeling that I had immediately afterwards was euphoric. All the insecurities that I had, the way I looked, the way I spoke, I could now become anyone. I now had confidence. I mean, it was really like feeling like Clark Kent becoming Superman. Hey, can we stop for just a second? Because my son's waking up.
Oh, sure.
Hang on one sec.
No problem.
Hi, Hill. Hill, this is Lauren. She's recording me. Can you say hi?
Yeah.
Here's some milk.
Yeah, wonderful. Und das... Das war wohlgemerkt jetzt nicht the making of, sondern es ist einfach alles drin geblieben in dieser Episode von Love and Radio. Übrigens Love and Pain wäre auch ein schöner Titel gewesen, aber der Podcast heißt That Also Works, Love and Radio. Hier über den investigativen Reporter Jason Leopold, der, wie ich finde, uns sehr eindrücklich schildert, wie er als, how old was he, 20 when he was into this kind of music?
Yeah, 20 or 21, probably just in college.
Ja, also so 20-Jähriger mit gewichtigen Leuten, das Musikbusiness abhing und mehr oder weniger gut drauf kam dabei. Das ist dann auch sinnbildlich für das, das finde ich auch sehr gut, sehr schön sinnbildlich für das Suchtverhalten von Jason Leopold, das er entwickelt, vielleicht auch ein bisschen ähnlich wie Kelly McEvers, wenn es darum geht, der Welt etwas Neues und vielleicht auch Gefährliches zu erzählen als investigativer Reporter. Ich würde mich gerne noch ein bisschen mehr mit diesem Aspekt des Sounddesigns beschäftigen. It's a very, I think it's a very interesting way of working with several sound layers and effects. We just heard how you built this. Do you have a philosophy? What's your approach?
Well, you know, part of it is that for each episode, we kind of try to find a new approach. So in this case, as you could hear, a lot of the samples that we were using, a lot of the music was built off of little loops and samples from a lot of the musicians he was mentioning. But as far as philosophy goes, you know, I think the driving philosophy is that, you know, now that we have, you know, podcasting and we can explore in all these new directions, we can stylistically try things that that haven't been done before. And the thing that I'm most interested in is trying to understand or trying to imagine what it's like in the listener's head as they're hearing the story. Like, what are the images that they're having when you hear someone telling a story? And how can I kind of make those a little bit real for the listener? How can I kind of make this alternate reality? You know, I think sort of psychedelic space is kind of that sounds kind of silly, but that's part of what I'm thinking about.
Sounds silly, but it is what you do. Ja, also diese psychedelischen Räume, die da geschaffen werden, was könnte da im Kopf des Hörers gerade ablaufen? Was wäre der richtige Score dazu? Und ja, ich finde das unheimlich spannend, wie das hier zusammengesetzt ist. Und es ist auch nicht immer, it's not always the obvious choice, which I think is really good. You could also double, like you could always double what you're just listening to with sounds. But I think you willingly choose to do it differently, right?
Yeah, and actually, you know, here at Radio Innovation Day, I gave a workshop about sound design, and that was one of the ideas that I was talking about is I think that sounds are most poetic when they tell you things that aren't in the words, that aren't in the, you know, whether you're writing radio or speaking radio or interviewing people, you know, or making scenes of radio. This is a chance to sort of tell people, or rather show people and not just tell them what to think and feel, is to actually give them that experience.
Also auch eine gewisse Freiheit dem Hörer dann wiederzugeben, indem man eben nicht die Bilder einfach doppelt. Also zum Beispiel wie in der Folge von Ben, wo es um Internetpornografie geht, hört man eben nicht die ganze Zeit Leute stöhnen und Betten quietschen, sondern er hat, that was also very consciously, you didn't have screaming and moaning and squeaky beds in your episode, right?
The screaming and moaning was while we were trying to finish 7 episodes before the season even launched.
Different kinds.
But different kinds of moaning, yeah. Professional screaming and moaning. Different profession of screaming and moaning. Yeah. So, yeah, we, you know, I think, you know, Claire Tennisgetter, who's the producer of the show, is really steeped in sound design as well. And I think thinks very, very carefully about the music we use, the sound we use, when to make things, you know, when to make things sound like what you're describing and when not to. We actually, one of the episodes in the first season is about this guy who set up an algorithm attached to a squirt gun to try and chase away the squirrels that were scratching away at his house.
You don't want me to translate that, Ben. No.
Yeah, and he and you know, one of the obvious things to do there would be, you know, I don't know, the sound of a squirt gun, the sound of, you know, someone at a computer, the sound of a squirrel, and you know, instead we designed the sound around that to be kind of timpani drums and sounds of impending war.
Ich fasse das mal, sorry Ben, ich fasse das mal einfach so zusammen, dass eben auch hier die bewusste Wahl getroffen worden ist, nicht einfach das zum Klingen zu bringen, was auf der Hand liegt, sondern dann das wirklich auch nochmal zu konterkarieren mit anderen Sounds. Und vorhin hat er noch sehr schön gesagt, ja, das Schreien und Stöhnen bei der Produktion der Episode zur Internetpornografie, das entstand vor allem bei der Fertigstellung, bei der Arbeit. Ne? Und nicht so sehr, weil man diese Sounds, was vielleicht auch naheliegend gewesen wäre, aus Pornografie benutzt hat. So, Brandon, ja. It's your turn. Tim, are you ready for the next track or are you falling asleep behind your desk? Mm-hmm. No? So, we're gonna listen to the sentence or whatever that Brandon is coming up with and gonna listen to another track of Tim Exile.
Listen with your headphones on. 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 Listen,
Merci.
Very good. Tim Exile. Mit einem weiteren Track, ganz spontan entwickelt. And Tim, we want to know a little bit more about the gear and the software you're using. And don't be too complex, because okay. I don't know. But can you just in two sentences explain what you're doing here?
So I made the software.
Yes.
Which I'm controlling with a bunch of hardware. The hardware you can buy off the shelf. The software...
It's yours.
It's mine at the moment. And it's basically looping. If you've probably seen guitarists, you know, buskers and so on. Well, I mean, loads of people are doing it nowadays, kind of layering up loops with a looper. But this is kind of looping on steroids, basically. Throwing a bunch of... throwing a bunch of, like, electronic-style production stuff in the mix as well, like effects and synths and drum machines.
Okay. Wonderful. Also diese Geräte, die hier stehen und die man im Livestream jetzt wunderschön sehen kann, die sind gekauft, die kann sich jeder kaufen. Aber die Software, die hat Tim Exile entwickelt, um so spontan, und ich finde, er ist voll in seinem Element. Ich kann mir schon vorstellen, warum er seine eigene Software entwickeln musste. Es gab für ihn nichts entsprechendes. Die er entwickelt hat, sie heißt Flash und ist übrigens mit dem Berliner Unternehmen Native zusammen entwickelt, beziehungsweise hat es lizenziert bekommen. Das ist auch eine schöne Berliner Connection. Ein Applaus nochmal für Tim Exa. Wonderful, Tim. Thank you so much.
Dankeschön.
So let's have a look into the future, Brandon. What's coming next sound-wise? I mean, we're talking about 3D augmented reality. Is that the thing you're also working on for your podcast?
So we haven't done any 3D work yet, but it's something that I'm thinking about. I think something that I'm imagining is, imagine you put on headphones and you're hearing a conversation and you turn your head and then you hear this other conversation and you can kind of like explore this, you know, augmented reality, this sort of radio space. I think that would be really fun. And there are people that are making that technology now.
Das wird also als nächstes kommen, die Augmented Reality, die erweiterte Realität, das 3D-Hören, was wir jetzt halt schon visuell haben, wird auch auf jeden Fall kommen beim Hören, Kopfhörer auf, und dann wird man sich in einem Raum bewegen, während man Geschichten erzählt. Is that going to be interesting, Kelly, for your stuff as well, or is it too arty-farty?
No, I mean, is it going to be interesting for, like, journalism? Yeah, if we look at some of the virtual reality pieces that already exist, immersing yourself into a place and trying to understand and have empathy for people who aren't yourself. I think virtual reality has a lot to do, like, to get us to those places. I mean, so much of what we're trying to do is, like, bring people in, like, drag you from your comfortable couch in Berlin and, like, stand here with me in Syria and try to understand what's going on. And so that's the kind of thing that could really work. I mean, when I think about the future too, I think about news. I think about a world where we probably still need and want journalism, but we are in control. We get to decide everything that we listen to or read or watch. And how is that different from a time now when there's people like me, journalists, like, serving it up on a platter? Those are the things that interest me.
Okay, also da geht's jetzt nochmal darum, wie wird auch diese Technik die Möglichkeiten für die Hörer ändern, selbst zu entscheiden, was will ich eigentlich hören, wann will ich eigentlich aus meinem komfortablen Sofa hier in Berlin oder in Brandenburg rausgerissen werden und mit hineingezogen werden in die Welt, die uns da angeboten, in die Welten, die uns da angeboten werden. Und Kelly sagt auch nochmal, ja, diese Dreidimensionalität kann natürlich noch ein Faktor sein, um die Leute noch tiefer hineinzuziehen in die Geschichten. Ben, what do you think? Where will it take us, the podcast? Is it something you can earn a lot of money from?
That's a good question. I think right now there's a lot of money being thrown around in the podcast space. Personally, as an audio maker, I guess I'll call myself, I'm really interested in and slightly terrified of self-driving cars and what that's going to do to our audio consumption, at least in the US. But I also think VR and AR are going to be huge. Hopefully I'm not spoiling anything by saying that our new season that we're going to release in November of the show is the theme is Can It Save Us? And one of the episodes is about virtual reality and increasing empathy and how it's going to be used in courts and how it's going to be used for various kinds of therapy. So I think VR, AR are going to be big, and hopefully we'll all make millions of dollars in podcasting as well.
Hat er auch gleich schön Werbung gemacht für die nächste Staffel von Codebreaker, die unter der Überschrift Can It Save Us? Will It Save Us?
Can It Save
Us. Ah, also kann es uns retten? Und es wird da auch gleich um Virtual Reality in einer der ersten Episoden gehen. But you didn't really answer if it will pay off, Ben. Does it pay off? How much do you get for, like, how much do you earn for one episode? How much is it?
I think I don't even know how to calculate that because I do two jobs when I'm making my daily show and making the podcast. We basically bootstrapped the podcast. I mean, it was one other person and myself, and they were, you know, yeah, there were two of us, and she was freelance, and she just got extended not too long ago to make the second season. So I'll probably leave it there. It's not easy to make a ton of money right now in public radio making podcasts.
Apart from when you do Serial, for instance, I guess. Yes. Okay, also finanziell, also richtig wollte Ben jetzt nicht damit rausrücken, wie viel er also an so einer Folge verdient, aber man hat schon in seinem Gesicht ablesen können, dass da viele Stunden Arbeit drin stecken und dass er auch keine Lust hat, das runterzurechnen auf die Arbeitsstunde. Das waren auch schon einige Perspektiven auf dem Weg in ein neues Radiozeitalter, in dem wir vielleicht schon tief drin stecken, und in den USA ist man, glaube ich, ein paar Schritte weiter. Wir stecken vielleicht dann doch noch hier in den Kinderschuhen. Radio wird, davon gehe ich jedenfalls mal aus, auch weiterhin natürlich als Live-Medium essentiell sein. Aber Podcasts sind die Chance, neue Erzählweisen, neue Soundtechniken, neue Designs ins Radio zu holen. Und das könnte auch auf das Live-Programm dann wiederum abfärben und vielleicht ja auch im Radio- oder Redaktionsalltag für mutige Entscheidungen sorgen, für mehr Tiefe, mehr radiophone Elemente, mehr Mut zur auch persönlichen Geschichte, wie es im Podcast passiert. Ich bedanke mich ganz herzlich bei Kelly McEvers. Applaus nochmal. Ben Brock Johnson, Brandon P. Baker und Tim Exile. Damit geht dieses einstündige Special von Radio 1 und Detektor FM zum MIZ Radio Innovation Day im Medieninnovationszentrum hier in Babelsberg zu Ende. Und mit einem letzten Track von Tim Exile übrigens. Thank you so much. All the best for all of you. Ein Dankeschön auch hier an die Kollegen von Radio 1 und vom MIZ, die an der Produktion beteiligt waren. Mein Name ist Dean Lorenzen. Machen Sie es gut. Schönen Abend. There you go.
News! 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 News.
Alle Beiträge, Reportagen und Interviews können Sie jederzeit nachhören im Netz auf detektor.fm.